Tonight's shiur is on this week's parsha, which is Parshas Va'era, and the shiur is titled Frogs Here and There, like the song, Frogs Here, Frogs There, Frogs Jumping Everywhere. And the shiur is going to be on the Makkah of Tzvardeya. In this week's parsha, Parshas Va'era, we're introduced to the first seven makos, and the second makkah is Tzvardeya. And I've always thought of that makkah, the Makkah of Tzvardeya, that it seemed...
Your outgoing message, press 6.
Hello? Okay, we're back. So tonight's shiur is on the Makkah of Tzvardeya, and as I said before, the parsha really introduces us to the makos. And I've always thought of the Makkah of Tzvardeya that it was a strange makkah. It seems very fun for children to mention the idea that frogs are here and frogs are there. But what's the real meaning behind the makkah? And there's a lot of strange ideas. So we're going to take up this makkah in particular and try to obviously analyze it on a deeper level and with deeper significance. And there's a lot of strange midrashim also that I want to take up and try to explain. And there's one theme that I want to focus on in the makkah. So we're just going to ask a lot of the questions, a normal amount of questions, and then we'll come to the theme. So the makkah really begins in Shmos Perek Zayin, Pasuk Chafav. And I will begin. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe bo el paro ve'amarta elav ko amar Hashem shalach es ami v'yavduni. This is the second makkah, which comes after Dam. And Hashem says to Moshe, go to Paro and tell him to send my nation so that they'll worship me. Ve'im ha'in ata l'shaleach, hinei anochi nogef es kol gvulecha b'tzvardeim. And if you don't send my people, I am going to attack all your boundaries with tzvardeim, with frogs. Visharat hayor tzvardeim, ve'alu uvo b'veisecho, v'chadar mishkavecho, v'almita secho, v'veisavadecho, v'amecho, v'sanarecho, v'misharasecho. And these tzvardeim, these frogs, they're going to proliferate, and there's going to be a lot of them, and they're going to come from the water, and they'll go into your houses, and the places that you sleep, and in your beds, and in your servants' houses, and throughout your nation, and in your ovens, and v'misharasecho, okay? They're going to be everywhere. And they'll be amongst you and amongst your nation and amongst all your servants. These tzvardeim, these frogs, will arise. Okay, this is the introduction of tzvardeya to Paro. Okay, and then if you look at number two, in the next, I don't know why the chapter is broken up this way, but let's go to number two. Perek Ches Pasuk Aleph. Vayomer Hashem Moshe Amor Laro Neteis Yadacha B'matacha or mematecha al hanaros al hayorim v'halagamim v'halas hatvardeim al eretz mitzrayim. So Aaron outstretches his matah, staff, on all the water bodies in Mitzrayim, and the tzvardeim are going to come up, and they come up upon eretz Mitzrayim. Vayit Aaron es yado al meim Mitzrayim v'tal hatzvardeya v'atachas es eretz Mitzrayim. And this happens. Aaron actually outstretches his hand with his staff over the borders of Mitzrayim, and the tzvardeya comes up, and it covers all of Eretz Mitzrayim. Vayasu kena chartumim balatehem vayalu esat tzvardim Eretz Mitzrayim. And the chartumim, they replicate the same exact thing, and there were tzvardim all over Mitzrayim. Okay? So this is really the beginning of the makkah. I don't want to take up the end of the makkah, how they were removed, but mostly the beginning of the makkah. So we see that Moshe introduces the makkah to Paro, and he's supposed to tell him what's going to happen, that all these tzvardim are going to come up and they're going to be everywhere. And then we see it happen. We see that Aaron, he outstretches his hands over the water, and the tzvardim come up. Okay? So what are the questions? Anybody have any questions on the psukim that they want to address or that we should take up?
Why?
Yeah.
Why frogs?
Why frogs? Okay, good question. So what is it about frogs that we can explain would make sense in terms of this makkah? Why use a makkah of frogs? That's a good question. Okay? Any other questions?
Why didn't Moshe do it all?
What?
Why didn't Moshe do it all?
Okay, why didn't Moshe do it all? We're not going to take that up. That's a famous medrash. Okay. But it's a good question. Okay. So I want to start from the question of why frogs. But before we get into why frogs, because that is the main idea of this year, why frogs and what's the purpose of this makkah and how can we explain this makkah. But what is a tzvardeya? That's the first question. Okay. And we assume that a tzvardeya is a frog. But there's actually other mefarshim that argue and say it's not a frog. If you look at the Ibn Ezra, number 3, in Parak Zion, he he says, "V'hamafarshim nechaku b'milas tzvardeim." There's a machlokas. There is an argument amongst the mefarshim as to what tzvardeim means. The rabbim amru shuhu min dog nimtza b'mitzrayim yikra b'lashon arav alas masach. The yotze min anar v'choteif bnei adam. So many say that it's this type of fish that you find in Egypt, and in Arabic it's called alas masach, and it comes out from the nahar, from the, you know, from the river, and it basically kills people on the banks of the river. V'choteif bnei adam. V'acheir mamru, but others say ki heman imtzaim berove hanaharos shemashmiim kol. There are animals that are found in many rivers, and you can hear their voices. V'hu anachlon be'enai v'hu hayadua, and this is correct in my eyes, and this is known. Okay, so what are the two shitas? I think the first one is a crocodile. I think what he's describing is a crocodile. So some shitas say that a tzvardeya is a crocodile. It wasn't really a frog. I think the Abarbanel also has this shita. But the Ibn Ezra and most Rishonim hold that tzvardeya are really frogs, right? Why would you say it's a crocodile? What about a crocodile is more appealing in terms of tzvardeya? What is it about a crocodile? It seems like a crocodile is more known for its... What? Exactly, it's more ferocious of an animal. So one side seems to say that tzvardeya, that a key element of tzvardeya, or the essence, was more the ferociousness of the tzvardeya, but the other side is focusing on the noise that the tzvardeya makes. So really, the way I would define it, like conceptually, is what is the tzvardeya? Is it a ferocious animal, or is the tzvardeya essentially, was its value in terms of the sound it makes? So which one is the essence of tzvardeya? And we're going to try to explain both a little bit more. But that's how I would explain, you know, what a tzvardeya is, just in terms of the machlokas rishonim. So that's step one. So the first step, as we said, is defining what a tzvardeya is. And as I said, most of the rishonim hold that a tzvardeya is a frog. So we're going to go with frog. But there is a shita amongst the rishonim that held that it was a crocodile, that it was a more ferocious animal. Okay? But then the question is, why frogs? Why were frogs chosen? Okay? There's nothing open in the psukim that explain why frogs were chosen. So we have to go to the midrashim in order to explain why that is. And I found an interesting midrash that I want to tie into, I think, an overall theme that I see in this makkah. And the midrash is in source number 4. It's Shmos Rabbah, Parsha Yud. And it addresses the question of why frogs. It says, "Vayet Aaron es yado al mei mei mitzrayim batal hatzvardeya." Amar Rabbi Tanchum. Rabbi Tanchum says, "Lama hevi alehem tzvardeim?" Why did he bring upon them tzvardeim? Meaning God. Why frogs? Shayu omrim leYisrael, because they said to the Jews, to the Yisraelim, "Heviu lanu shkatzim v'ramasim," that you brought upon us shkatzim v'ramasim, which are little bugs and creatures, creepy crawlers. Lefichach, therefore, hevi aleihem tzvardeim. Therefore, I'm going to bring upon them tzvardeim. Bishash ayu mozeg esakos hayam mismale min atzvardeya. When they would dilute their water, it was filled with frogs. Okay. But what is the Medrash factually saying? Why tzvardeim? So it's saying that apparently the Mitzrayim would taunt the Jews and say that the Jews were responsible for bringing upon them creepy crawlers. And therefore, the tzvardeya, which is, I guess, a small animal, almost similar to a sheketz and a remes, was brought onto them as a midah k'neged midah. Okay, and why were the Jews responsible for bringing bugs and creepy crawlers? So one of the mefarshim on this medrash, I forgot who it was, said that it's referring to the fact that the Jews were sweaty and smelly as a result of their slavery. So very sweaty and smelly people, they tend to attract bugs. And the Mitzrayim were almost mocked the Jews, and they said that the Jews were responsible for bringing all these bugs in because of the way they smelled and how dirty they were. And now the Mitzrayim are getting a dose of their own of the way that they taunted the Jews, and they're also going to attract tzvardeim, attract like small animals. Okay, seems like a strange medrash. Like, why this mock? What is this idea that they should? It's apparently the idea is that they should experience some aspect of the avdus of the Israelim, but why this aspect? What is it about this aspect that they should that they should experience this? And also, you know, why should they experience this? What is this? Is this simply an onesh, or is there an idea to them experiencing the smelliness and the dirtiness of the juice. So that's one question that I want to raise, okay? Now, we're going to raise several questions in the shiur, so if you have an answer to one question, it might answer all the questions. But so keep all the questions in mind, and I'll go through them, and I'll keep reviewing them, and then I think there's going to be like one idea I think we can use to explain away the mako, okay? Is this clear? Does anybody have any questions? So far we try to explain what a tzvardeh is, and we're going to go with the shita that holds that it's a frog. And then the question was, why tzvardeim? And there's this funny medrash that says tzvardeah because it's a midah k'neged midah. It's paralleling how the mitzrayim mock the Jews for bringing upon them little bugs because of their dirt and their smelliness as a result of slavery. And now the mitzrayim are getting a taste of their own medicine. So what is that idea? What is the significance of that idea? Okay. Now we look at number five. Okay, number five is a famous medrash that many of us are familiar with, and I'm sure it's mentioned at the Seder every single year. It says, Uvecha uve'amecha, and it's amongst you or within you and within your nation. That's in Pasuk, where is that? It's in Pasuk Chavches. It says, V'sharata yor atzvardim ve'alu vo v'yisecha v'chadar mishka v'cha v'amitosecha. No, sorry, Chavtas. Uvecha uve'amecha uvecha v'decha yalu atzvardim. Rashi, number five, he says, Uvecha uve'amecha b'soch me'ehem nechnasin u'mekarkarin. So what does it mean, uvecha uve'amecha? It actually means within you, literally. And Rashi says that they entered into the Egyptians' insides, their intestines, and they were croaking from within the Egyptian. So it's a strange medrash. Why is it strange? Why is it strange? I don't think a person can live with a frog croaking inside of their intestines. I'm not a medical doctor, and to me, it seems kind of strange to say that the mitzrayim could live with a frog croaking inside of them anatomically. So what is the reason for this? Or what's this idea that the frogs were actually in their intestines and they were croaking? What's the purpose of this medrash if it's not a literal medrash? If it's literal, it's basically just saying that the frogs killed them, but why is it relevant that the frog killed them by being inside their intestines and croaking? What's the idea of the croaking? But I don't think it's literal. Yeah?
That it has to be inside of them is that it has to be something almost unnatural that couldn't be imitated because they have to, I'm not saying that this had to happen, but whatever happens to them, that it's like, it's almost like the idea that it's in them, they have to understand that this is like from God.
Okay.
So doing something that's very unnatural, so therefore, it's gonna make them understand that it's like from God.
Was it literal or not literal? Were there actual frogs that entered into their intestines and croaked, or did it not happen? That's my question. If it happened, then I would tell you that the mitzrayim were killed by the frogs. So just say that the frogs killed them. And if it didn't happen, so what's the significance of the medrash? I don't think it happened literally, because I don't think you can live with a frog alive croaking inside of your intestines or your stomach. All right?
That's, all right.
So that's the question. Now, the Medrash actually takes this a little bit further, and it's a little bit more graphic, but I think it's also relevant to the idea, very relevant to the idea, okay? Look at number six, another Medrash, because there's not a lot of Mefarshim on Tzvardeah, but there's several Midrashim on it, and I think the Midrashim, they really give us insight, okay? Uvecha uve'amecha. So it's the same pasuk, the same words that Rashi's quoting. The Medrash takes up. Paro hischil ba'avera tchila shnemar vayomer elamo uvo hischila amaket tchila shnemar uvecha v'acharkach uve'amcha uve'acharkach uvecha avadecha. Okay, that's a separate point that I don't really want to take up. But basically, the makah started with paro, and then it affected all the rest of the mitzvah. Okay, fine. Amar Rabbi Acha uvecha. So I think Rav Acha is saying uvecha also means to tear. You know, to cry. It's the same uvacha, like to be bocha. Raya, so he brings, this is a raya, it's a proof. Shaya shosa mayim, they would drink water. Vitipa achas yoredes al libo. There would be one drop of water that fell upon the heart of the person drinking the water, the mitri. Vinaset tzvardeya, and then it would become a tzvardeya, vinifka asham, and it would either separate or crack there. It would crack the heart there, or it'll settle there. I'm not sure which one it is. But apparently the idea is that they would drink water, and the water, the drop of water, like uvacha, like a tear, would form into a tzvardeya on their heart, right? Strange medrash. What does it mean that you had a same question as before? What does it mean that there's a tzvardeya that is somehow forming on the heart of the mitzri? You can't live with an animal on your heart. So what does it mean that there's a frog on the heart? Okay. Now we're going to get even more graphic. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, kol makom shaya sham afar v'haya tipa shel mayim bo haya nase tzvardeya. Fine. This isn't the graphic part. Any place that there was afar, there was dirt, and there was a tipa of mayim, a drop of water, like uvacha, cry, bo haya nase tzvardeya. There was a frog there. So all, you know, all pieces of dirt, anytime there's water drops on top of the dirt, the drops formed into tzvardeyim, into frogs. Okay? This, now the last one's very interesting. Chizkiya berebi amar, im kishita hazu, lo laku batem shal gidolim, shal yu asuyin b'shayish uvisifas. So if you go with the idea that tzvardeyas, the frogs only occurred on dirt, what about the people who are rich, who had stone floors and who had marble floors? So how did that work? Ela melamed shayu atzvardeya ola minatahom. The tzvardeya, the frog, it would come up from the depths of the world. The omeris l'shayish, it would say to the marble, osel li makom she'ela, make for me a place so that I can come up from the depths. Ve'ese ratzon bori, so I can do the will of my creator. V'haya nifka hashayish, the marble would crack. Ve'ola v'noteles beis hasasarim shelahem, they would come up, the frog, and it would go into the innards of the mitzri, umisarson, and then it would castrate them. Shenamar utzvardea hashchisam. Okay, and he quotes another, ki mashchisam bahem. Okay, so the last part of the medrash says that the tzvardea actually went inside of them, misarson means to castrate, and it castrated them. Okay, so there's three medrashim here. One medrash says that it was that the water that you would drink would form into a frog on a person's heart. So it seems strange how a person could live like that. Then you have the second idea, which is that wherever there was dirt and there was a drop of water on top of the dirt, that would form into a frog. And then the last idea is that the frogs would come up from beneath the ground by the rich people, and they would go inside of them, and they would be misaris them. They would castrate them. So it's a strange idea, right? What is the idea that the frogs would castrate them, and why is it limited to the gedolim, to the people who are grand? Okay? Anybody have any thoughts on that, or is it a good question? Yeah? Hello?
Yeah. Is this?
Yeah.
No, sorry. No.
All right, somebody speak. Who's going to take? Debbie, let the other person.
Is this what they were like warned would happen? This is apparently what happened.
No, this is what happened. Really what happened. What happened was, what really happened was apparently the tzvardeya was inside the mitzri in some way. The Rashi says they were either croaking inside of them, in the medrash it was on their heart, and the last medrash says that it went inside of them and it actually castrated the men. So, but this actually happened. This is part of the nace. So what is the significance of this idea in terms of understanding tzvardeya? That's my question. And also, are these things literal? I don't think they're literal, because I don't think a person can live with a frog on their heart or a frog inside of them croaking. So what exactly is it trying to, what is the medrash trying to reveal about tzvardeya, about the nature of tzvardeya? Okay? Yeah.
I was just going to ask, I know in the first part you mentioned like it came from water.
Yeah.
And the second one you mentioned came from earth.
No, they're using the word uvacha, which also could be read, because it usually uvacha is not is not with a hey. So why is it uvacha? It's really uvacha, like to cry. And it's referring to tears, that water would turn into frogs. But then it references the idea that when a person would drink water, inside of them, the water would form into a frog on the person's heart, and it would settle there or crack there. I think it's to settle there. And then you have the other idea that anytime there's a droplet of water on the ground, you know, on the dirt, it would turn into a frog. It would form into a frog. And then you have this last medrash which says that the frogs would come from beneath the ground, and it would enter inside of them, and it would castrate them. Okay?
Okay. Yeah.
So, and the Ramban actually, he actually quotes this. It's not just a far-fetched medrash. The Ramban quotes the idea of them being castrated. He brings it as a raya for... Let's read the Ramban at number 7. This is just more of a proof point, but it's not really an essential point. He says, let's see, number 7. Umasha Amar Rabbi Avram, ki Moshe lo hodim makas hakinim. By kinim, Moshe doesn't mourn Paro. Nira be'enai shehika Aaron b'mata leinei Paro kasher asa b'fiach, aval lo hasraba. There is no hasra, there is no warning by kinim. Ki ena kadosh baruch hu masra b'paro, rak b'makos asher bahen misa la'adam. There is only a warning by makos, which killed people. Uchsib b'tzvardeim u'tzvardeya v'tashchisim. And it quotes the same pasuk as the Medrash from Tehillim, that there is some type of destruction by the Tzvardeya. Shehu romez lamisa o lahashchasa, sheyizkiru rabosinu shayu mesarsim osam. Okay? And he references the same point as the Medrash, that really there's some type of idea that the frogs, you know, either killed them or the frogs castrated them. But there was some type of destruction, real destruction, that the frogs caused upon the Mitrium, and that's why by Tzvardeya there was a hasra, there was a warning. Okay? Okay, I like your approach, but we'll come back to it. I like it. Okay, I like where you're going. I like the way you're thinking. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. So this is the last idea we're gonna take up, and then we're gonna give the big answer. Is another famous Rashi that everybody who goes to high school, you know, modern Orthodox high school, knows this Rashi. Hopefully, number 8, Vatal Hatzvardeya. It's a famous question. That in the psukim, it sounds like there is only one frog. It doesn't say Vatal Hatzvardeim. So what is the medrashe? What is the medrashe? It's Tzvardeya Achas, the number 8. Tzvardeya Achas Haisa. There is only one frog. V'hayu Makin Osa, v'hi Matezes Nechilim Nechilim Zehu Midrasha. So the medrash is that there was one big frog, and the Egyptians would keep hitting it, and when you would hit it, there would come out of it swarms of frogs. And then Upshuto Yeshlam Arshara Tzvardeim Karea Lashon Yechidus. The pshat is that sometimes you can call a swarm in a lashon yachid. Just it's you're referring to the whole species, to the whole swarm as one entity, okay? And he brings proofs from kinem. You do the same thing, fine. So that's the pshat, okay? But what's always bothered me about the medrash? The medrash says that there was one big fat frog, and apparently the mitzvah kept hitting it. Why would you keep hitting a frog that kept producing swarms of other frogs if you knew that the frogs were bad for you? If you saw the big fat frog and you noticed the first time that you hit it, fine, maybe I'll give you like 2 or 3 times, okay? So you hit it the first time, some other little frogs come out of it. Then you hit it a second time, other frogs come out of it. Then a third time, other frogs come out of it. At a certain point, you got to stop hitting the big frog. And then you would think that the maka would just end there. So I just don't understand Rashi. What's he talking about? Why? What's the point of them, you know, hitting the frog? Why would you hit a frog if you knew that it would just produce more and more frogs, and it would harm you negatively, right?
Yeah, maybe it's trying to show how irrational they got, you know, when the frogs came and how it affected them so intensely that they just kept doing this. That was just totally didn't make any sense, but they were, like, desperate.
Okay, all right, good. I like that. Okay, good. All right, we're gonna take that up in a... that idea up in a couple of minutes. Just to strengthen the question on Rashi, before we answer that, the main question, the Medrash actually doesn't even have this idea, so I don't know where Rashi's getting it from. If you look in the Mosadar of Cook, they quote this Gemara from Sanhedrin, which is a famous Gemara, but the Gemara doesn't say anything like Rashi, so I really just don't understand where Rashi's getting his idea from. Look at number 9 in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach Zayin Amud Beis. Vatala tzvardeya vatechasis eret mitzrayim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, tzvardeya achas haisa. So one sheet, Rabbi Elazar says that there was one tzvardeya, there was one frog. His shritza umala kol eret mitzrayim. So it had many offspring, and all those offspring, you know, they filled up all of eret mitzrayim. Kitanai, it's like a machlokes tanaim. Rabbi Kiva omer tzvardeya achas haisa. So Rabbi Kiva holds there is one tzvardeya, umala kol eret mitzrayim. So Amar lo Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says to Rabbi Akiva, Akiva malacha itzal hagada. Akiva, you shouldn't be involved in medrash in hagada. Kalemi dabro secha v'leich etel negayim ba'olos. Go learn negayim and olos, different areas in Torah. This is in your area. Tzvardeya achas haisa, but rather, how do you explain it? There was one tzvardeya, sharka lahem v'heim bo. And that one tzvardeya croaked, and through its croaking, it attracted all the other tzvardeim. So there's a machlokas in the Gemara, whether there was one tzvardeya, and that one tzvardeya had all the offspring of the other of the swarms of frogs, and it all came from the one, or the one tzvardeya was croaked, and you know it was the general of the frogs, and the general of the frogs was able to mobilize all the troops. But in nowhere in this Gemara does it say anything about them hitting the frog or hitting that one frog, and that's how the other frogs came out. So I don't really know where Rashi's getting his idea from, but I think we can explain Rashi or you know what he means. Okay. And then, okay, so I think those are all the questions. So those are the questions that we're dealing with. So again, let me just review, and then we'll go into the answer. So the questions are, one question is that why frogs? There's an interesting medrash that says that it was a midah k'neged midah, that the Jews were very smelly, and they were dirty. And as a result of their smell and their dirt, they attracted a lot of bugs, and therefore the Tzvardim are really like a midah k'neged midah, that the Mitzrayim should attract frogs, okay? Then you have, so what's strange about that is, what is the significance of them experiencing this, the Avdus in this way? And why do they have to experience Avdus in this, at this point? And then you have this strange Rashi and the Medrash, which seems to indicate that the frogs were inside of them in some way. Either they were croaking inside of them, or they were in their hearts, or they castrated them. It's a strange idea. What's the idea of the frogs being inside of them? And if it's literal, then how could they live? You know, how could they exist with frogs inside of them? And then the last idea is the idea about Rashi, or the question on Rashi, Vatala Tzvardeya, that you had one Tzvardeya and they were all hitting it. And the question is, why would you keep hitting the Tzvardeya if you knew that it was producing more and more frogs? Okay? So those are all the questions. I think we can answer them. I think the main answer that we can start with is a Rashi on Arov, and he mentions Tzvardeya in this Rashi. Number 11. Rashi says, Es ha'arov, kol mine, it's on Rashi in Parakhas, I don't have the pasuk here, but Es ha'arov, kol mine chayos ra'os unuchashim ba'akrabim berbuvya v'hayu mashchisim b'ham. So by Arov, you had a whole mixture of animals, and it killed them, it destroyed them. So in the Medrash, there's an explanation of each makah, why this one, why that one. So in strategizing war, malachim, when they come to fight and they decide to siege a city, there's a whole strategy and there's a step-by-step strategy. First, you take away all the springs and the water sources. And then afterwards, what you do is you take your instruments, your trumpets and your horns, and you sound them very loudly in order to scare them and to make them very, I guess, excited, not in a positive way, in a negative way, to make them confused. And the tzvardeim, the idea of the noise of the tzvardeim is that it was meant to confuse them. Kedeisa b'medrash Rabbi Tanchuma. Okay, so one idea that Rashi is expressing over here is that there is an order to the makos in vis-a-vis battle, and the first maka dam was meant to take out their water supply, just like when an army is sieging a city, they take out the water supply first, and then what you do after that is that you take out your trumpets and your loud music and your drums and you make loud sounds. Why do you make it? To scare them, to make them afraid and to get them to be very confused. Okay? So I wanna use this idea and try to maybe elaborate on it and explain all of our kashas in this way. So I think the idea of Tzvardeim is that, see, why would you, what's the idea of confusing them and making them afraid? Because when a city is attacked initially, or when anybody's attacked, whether it's a physical attack or verbal attack, your immediate response should be to fight back. Especially when you're attacked by over here in this situation, there were slaves and they were lower than the Egyptians. But the natural response would be to fight back. And the point of the noise is that noise is supposed to instill fear and instill like a certain sense of confusion in order to prevent, you know, a counterattack. So when you siege a city and you first attack and the first thing you do is to cut off the water supply, you also, you don't want the people inside the city to have havamina, to even think that they can fight back. You want to try to quash that as soon as possible. Okay? So that is the basic idea. But how does that explain all the questions and how can we understand Tzvardea now? You see, I think let's go back to the actual, when the actual Makkah happened. So you have that Rashi, and that was the last question that we asked. Rashi says, why were they, that they were hitting the frog and they kept hitting it. And only through hitting it, once they were hitting it, then swarms of frogs would come from this big frog. And eventually you had frogs that covered all of Mitzrayim. So the question was, why were they hitting it? So I think one possibility was to show their level of, it was their level of irrationality, right? But I just want to explain that a little bit more. I don't think it was their level of irrationality. I think it was their level of hostility. Because right before this Makkah, they were attacked for the first time. It was the first attack was Dam. And the response of the Mitzrayim, a normal response would be to be hostile, to be angry. And you see that in the Medrash is depicting the Mitzrayim hitting the frog. Why is that significant? Because the Medrash is demonstrating the level of hostility and aggression the Mitzrayim felt. And they were taking it out on the frog. But it was, like as was mentioned before, it was an irrational response, but it was a response of aggression. And the idea of the Medrash is that their aggression was outletted on the frog, but the frog really, but the idea is that Tzvardea, that Tzvardeim really quashed that aggression. So the Medrash is really giving you the idea of Tzvardea, which is the idea of Tzvardea was that the Mitzrayim were in an agitated state. They're in a state of hostility and aggression. And you see that from the fact that they kept hitting the frog over and over again. But the point of Tzvardea was to counter that, was to counter the feeling or the desire of the Mitzrayim to retaliate against the Jews. Because you see, in the Makos in general, they don't really retaliate against the Jews. They just ask Paro at a certain point to let the Jews leave, but they don't really say. A normal response would be like, "Let's just kill all the Jews. Why are we even considering letting them go? They're bringing all these Makos on us. Let's kill them. Let's show us how powerful we are." But apparently, the first Makkah after Dam had to be a Makkah that quashed that aggression, that just took away that aggression.
Well, how did it quash that if it brought out the hostility and aggression?
Oh, because
take it out of the frogs versus the people, or because the noise level was making them like.
Oh, so there's a bunch of things. Yeah, there's a bunch of things. So let me explain that. But I'm just saying the Medrash is showing you the state that they were in when the Makkah came. When the Makkah actually started, the state that they were in were that they were in an aggressive, hostile state. But like, how did the Tzvardeim? Now the question is, how did the Tzvardeim get, you know, destroy that? So I think let's go back to the Midrashim. So the first Medrash that we took up was, why Tzvardeim? And the Medrash says that the reason for Tzvardeim is because they mocked the Jews, they taunted the Jews, and they said that the Jews attracted bugs and creepy crawlers because of their sweat and their dirtiness. And now the Mitzrayim are getting hit with the same thing. So why is that significant in terms of this idea or this svara, that it was really meant to quash their aggression? Because I think that the idea is that the Mitzrayim, they viewed themselves as the masters of the Jew. And as a master, if your slave fights back, so then you retaliate against the slave. But you see that part of the Makkah was for them to experience a slave mentality or a slave environment, a slave situation. And based on the svar that I'm presenting about Tzvardea, that it was meant to quash their aggression, it makes sense because they really had to feel lowly. They had to feel like a slave. They had to feel dirty. They had to feel sweaty like the slaves in order to prevent them from wanting to fight back. You only fight back when you feel like a sense of ego and a sense of pride. But when you feel like you're a slave and you feel like you worked very hard and you feel disgusting and dirty, it also breaks down your aggression, your desire to fight back. And the idea of that medrash as to why it's Tzvardeim, I think, fits into this svara, because I think it's demonstrating that part of the idea of Tzvardea was the Mitzri had to feel like a slave in some sense. But why feel like a slave? Because it was meant, same idea, it was meant to quash their aggression. A slave has far less of an ability to fight back than a master. Okay, so I think that answers that medrash, like why frogs, Okay, but also then, what's the idea of the of all the midrashim in terms of like the frogs being inside of them? How does that explain this idea, or does that fit into this idea, and does it make sense? See, I was thinking. Let me start with Masaris, the idea of castration, because to me, I think it's a clear idea, and I think it makes sense. See, what is castration? What does it do? What do you do to a man when a man's castrated? You're basically removing their masculinity, and by taking away and castrating the person, so the man, so that's the idea of castration. You remove an element of their masculinity, and apparently the Medrash is saying that this affected the Gedolim Shebahem, the great people amongst the Egyptians who had the stone floors. They were the ones who were castrated, who by the frogs. So I think the idea is that part of the idea of the frogs is that it took away a certain element of their masculinity, and I think that's the imagery given by the castration. But why is that significant? Why was that relevant? I think it's the same idea. You see, when a person's ability to fight back, a man's ability to fight back is partially testosterone, is partially male aggression. And the idea is that the frogs, it removed that, it removed a certain element of masculinity that they had. And it removed an ability of them psychologically to be aggressors. So that is I think explains the Medrash. But what about the idea that it's inside of them, that it's croaking inside of them, right? How does that fit in? Or how do we explain that? So I think the idea is that, you see, there's different types of noises, and some noises are inside of a person and some noises are outside of a person. Like when you hear an airplane outside of your house, or we have a train in Teaneck that constantly goes by. So sometimes you get used to noises that are outside of your house and you just block them out. You're able to block them out and they just become normal. But when you have a noise inside of you, like a ringing of the ears, when you have a noise inside of you, so it agitates you, it's something that you can't forget about. So part of the idea of the noise of the frog and that medrash is that the noise of the frog, also same thing, it was meant to, like Rashi says later, it was meant to be miyari them, to make them afraid. It was meant to confuse them. But the nature of the noise was that it wasn't an external noise, it was an internal noise. It became part of them, and it was not something that they could just block out, that they could just ignore. So the idea of that was our question. Our question was, what does Rashi mean that there are frogs inside of you that are croaking? It doesn't mean that, I don't think it means literally that the frogs jumped into the person's insides, because then the person would die. But rather it means that the nature of the noise was an internal noise. It wasn't an external noise. It wasn't something that a person could just block out, but it was something that was inside of them. Because if they could block it out, then perhaps they could fight back. But if it was inside of them, if it was something that they could not remove from them, so now it was constantly bugging them, it was constantly affecting them. They were constantly being reminded and being afraid in that state of confusion. So if that's the case, that prevents you, or that's a preventative of the aggressive tendency. And I think it's a similar idea in the Medrash by the libo, by the lave of the person. The lave of the person is what makes the person's decisions. A person makes decisions through their lave, through their heart. Sometimes it's referred to as the lave is a reference to the mind. Sometimes the lave is a reference to the emotions. But the lave is really the part of the person that helps the person make decisions. And the idea of a frog settling on the lave is the same idea, that the mitzri, he couldn't make decisions without thinking about the frogs. The idea, the noise of the frogs, it permeated inside of them and it permeated all their decision-making, so they couldn't fight back. So I think that explains the makkah in general. I think the makkah, as Rashi pointed out by Arov, the makkah was really meant to make them afraid and to confuse them. But I'm just adding in one element. Why is that necessary at this point? Because the normal reaction to being attacked at first is to fight back. And the mitzriim, it would be logical and rational for them to fight back. But you see from Rashi when he says Vatala Tzvardeya, that really they were in a state of hostility and they were aggressive and they wanted to destroy the frog as a demonstration of the aggression that they felt. But the idea of the Tzvardeya is that it really removed their aggression. It took that away. And all the midrashim seem to tell you how that occurred. Like the midrash of the that it was Mida Kineged Mida. It's telling you that the Tzvaradim put them in a state of disgustingness and dirtiness. And a person who's in a lowly state, he doesn't want to fight back, or he doesn't feel like he has the ability to fight back. And then you have the idea of the noise, that the noise wasn't external, but it was internal. And the noise of that fear that the noise produces, like the noise of trumpets, that fear was not external, but it was part of them. It was something that permeated their insides, and it was something that affected their decision making. And then you have the idea of being Masaris them, that even the Gedolim, the ones who could, who you would think would fight back, the leaders of the Mitzrayim, they were castrated. Their masculinity was removed. Their sense of aggression was removed through the idea of the frogs of the Tzvaradim. So I think that explains. Hopefully, we have greater insight as to the psychological effect of the frogs on the Mitzrayim and why it was so essential to use frogs in terms of conveying this idea, in terms of preventing the Mitzrayim from fighting back from their aggressive tendencies. Okay, does anybody have any questions on that, or is that clear, Debbie? Hello?
That was very clear.
Yes, it's clear.
Okay, good. Thank you. All right. So I just want to take up one more point. So there's two aspects to every medrash, and one aspect is the psychological nature of the makkah, and I think we just explained that by Tzvardeya, what the psychological nature of Tzvardeya is. But also there's a philosophical idea there too. And every makkah, there's a philosophical, and I think there's a psychological. So what is the philosophical idea of Tzvardeya? So then I think we have to go back to that Gemara. So the Gemara says that there's two approaches to Vatal HaTzvardeya. One approach was that there was one big fat Tzvardeya, and all of the swarms of frogs came from the big one. And the other idea is that there was one general Tzvardeya, meaning like the general of an army, and this Tzvardeya was able to mobilize all the other Tzvardeim in all the, I guess, all of Mitzrayim, or all the universe, into the lakes and the waters of Mitzrayim, and then they came out and they swarmed the Mitzrayim. Okay? So what is the nature of this machlokas? How would we explain this machlokas? Now the Ramban, actually, in number 12, he just explains a little bit, and he explains this machlokas a little bit. He's of the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, and his basic idea is that, we don't have to read it inside, but his basic idea is that by the kinim, the Khartoumim weren't able to replicate the kinim. Why? Because they say etzba elokim. And the Ramban says that idea is an idea in creation, that the Khartoumim were not able to create on their own. God is able to create, but a magician can't create something from nothing. He just can't create. So the objection Rav Elazar ben Azariah had to Rabbi Akiva is that if you hold that it's one Tzvardeya and it's producing many, so then you're saying that God's creating. And if that's the case, how come the Khartoumim could replicate that? So rather, he says that the approach of Vishartsu, of Yishritsu, is that, you know, is his approach. That it's Sharkalahem, that there was one that croaked, and through the croaking, it mobilized all the Tzvardim of the world, of the universe. Well, what's the idea of Tzvardeya here, and what's the nature of Ismachlokas? So I think just to give a philosophical idea for Tzvardeya, I think both Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar are focusing on the aspect of creation, of God demonstrating that he is the creator. See, the first makkah philosophically was really destroying the Egyptian god. And Rashi says it openly, I think we did it in last week's shir, that Rashi says that the first makkah was to take out their god, and their main god was the Nile River. But after you take out their god, the purpose of the second makkah would be to demonstrate who the true God is, who the creator of the universe is. And there's a machlokas between, so what's the nature of the machlokas? The question is, by Tzvardeya, what was being represented here? So there's two ways in which you can represent God as the creator of the universe. One way is by demonstrating creation. So according to Rabbi Akiva is saying that really Tzvardeya was a demonstration of the act of creation, that God is able to create. But you still have the question of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but Rabbi Akiva is maintaining that there was a demonstration of creation. Whereas the other side holds that, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds that you can demonstrate that God is the creator by showing the vastness of his creations. When you see a whole pack of, when you see one lion, for example, it's different than when you see, you know, a whole pack of lions, or if you see a whole pack of wolves or versus one wolf. And the more you see, the more it reflects on you that there must be a creator of the universe, a true creator of the universe. So the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is, how was God as creator, how is that idea being manifest in Sfardea? Either it's being manifest through a demonstration of creation itself, or it's being manifest through the vastness of the creatures that were created in the universe. And by all the frogs swarming together, there was an aspect of appreciation in terms of the vastness of creation. Of, you know, when you see so many, when you see billions of things, it's clear and it manifests that there is a creator of the universe. So the machlokas about Tzvardeya is which philosophical we're trying to represent God as the creator, but which idea is, or which concept is really expressing that? Is it the act of creation by one frog creating many frogs, or is it the vastitude of God's creation? By seeing multitudes of frogs and frogs, by seeing that, you see clearly that there was a creator of the universe. So that, I think, is the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So I really think that that there's two elements to Tzvardeya on a deeper level. One element is the psychological ability of the Tzvardeya to quash the aggression of the Mitzrayim and to prevent them from fighting back. But I also think that once their God was taken out, the Nile, so now there's a representation of our God, of Hashem, as the creator of the universe through Tzvardeya. And there's two ways, there's two possibilities as to how that's being represented to the Mitzrayim. Either it's being represented through the vastness, as I said, of creation, or through witnessing, you know, an act of creation. Okay? Does that make sense? Or all right. So that's basically the share for tonight. Does anybody have any questions? Or I mean, I think just... Yeah. Okay. I think just to answer that question on how would you explain Rabbi Akiva, because Rabbi Elazar has a good question on Rabbi Akiva about the Chartumim. So maybe the idea is that there's a difference between Yesh Ma'ayin and Yesh Miyesh. And see, over here by the Tzvardeya, there is a demonstration of creation, but it's not Yesh Me'ayin, it's Yesh Me'yesh. You're starting with something from the frog, and you're creating other frogs from that frog. So it's not really creation in the truest sense of creation, but it is an act of creation. So maybe that's the idea that Rabbi Akiva would say. He would say, listen, you know, you're right, the Chartumim, they couldn't replicate the Kinim, because the Kinim was Yesh Me'ayin, it was from nothing. But by Tzvardeya, they could, because there's an idea of Yesh Miyesh, and human beings can replicate, or through magic, or through not magic, but through sleight of hand, they can replicate that. But they can't replicate creating something from nothing. So I think that could answer that question. Okay? All right, so that's tonight's shir. So at the Seder now, when you hear the song Frogs Here, Frogs There, you'll have a deeper understanding of what the Tzvardeim were really meant for. They're a lot more vicious than just Frogs Here and Frogs There. All right?
All right.
All right.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Yeah. Have a good Shabbos, everybody. Thank you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good night.